Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Pick a song, we'll play a favorite female artist or band. Orioles and Rangers, series finale, 6:35. Birch need to win. Win a series. They're not good in rubber games. DeGrom's really good. Brandon Young, still young. Is what it is. NBA drafts tonight. Ravens are less than a month away from the start of training camp 2025. The schedule came out yesterday. A lot of 2:15, 2 o'clock, 1:30s in that area. But joining us now, touch base a little bit with a little bit of everything. He's our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan. Fresh Take Sports is the show with Ben Hall. And he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Cordell Woodland. Cordell, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
All right, man. Let's talk about the NBA draft is tonight. A couple of trades. McCollum goes to the Wiz. Jordan Poole gets out of Washington. The Zinger goes to Atlanta. There's always fun three-team trades. Kyrie re-ups in Dallas because coming off knee surgery because he likes the future of that team, which will be adding Cooper Flagg tonight. But around these parts, Derek Queen's going to be the big story, expected to be selected in the first round. Didn't do all that great measurables at the combine. Didn't jump all that high. The three-point shooting in Maryland wasn't all that great. But, you know, I look at a guy that shoots 75% from the line so he can shoot. Just got to extend that range a little bit. What do you think, Queen? What would be a nice opportunity for him as a young player? Remember, only 1 year at the major college level. Does he need to go somewhere where he instant impacts or is expected to, or go somewhere because he's been mocked to the Thunder where, you know, go in there, maybe play 10 minutes a game early and then just develop your skills?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've seen a couple of mock drafts that have had him going to the Thunder, and I look at that team as a team that uses their entire roster. I mean, they will empty the bench on you and run you off the court. And we saw Aaron Wiggins benefit from that this year. So, you know, going there, that seems like a place where they do a really good job of finding a role for everybody, allowing everybody to kind of feel a part of the operation. That'd be a good place. And obviously, you know, they're the best team in basketball as it stands today. But I think Queen is a guy, and you talk about him not blowing scouts away at the combine with his measurables and, you know, some of the drills. He doesn't strike me as that guy. You watch him on the court, he's not the most athletic guy on the court. We already knew that. Right. What he is, though, his basketball IQ is through the roof. He is very skilled. He has an incredibly soft touch. He has a feel for how to get guys the ball and where to get them the ball. He's a part of this new age of positionless basketball, of these bigger guys that can handle the ball. We've seen them bring the ball up the court. I mean, that's a skill in itself. So I think there are enough basketball skills in him for somebody at the professional level to be able to hone in and help mature. So I think it'll be, you know, it'd be great for him to get some run early in his career. Who doesn't want that? But I just feel like he's a guy that once he gets on the team and they see him enough, I feel like he'll be able to kind of carve out, even if it's a small role for himself. I think he could do that almost anywhere.
All right, Cordell, before I get to the Ravens, what do you think the Wizards are doing tonight at 6?
Well, it seems like they're one of those teams where it's a lot of unknowns right now. I mean, they could make a trade out. Or they could sit there, and I've honestly been surprised that all this Ace Bailey talk to the Wizards is happening. Like that would be Christmas for them in my mind.
Falling to the Wizards at 6.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of insane to me, but it is Lion season. So we'll see what happens. But that'd be I think that'd be best case scenario if they were to stay put, if they end up having Ace Bailey fall right into their lap. I mean, that could be that has the potential to turn out to be one of their better draft picks in recent years.
All right, Cordell, since we're going to be seeing the Ravens practice against Washington, what do you think of where your Washington Commanders are after minicamp and heading into the season?
I mean, honestly, I'm just hoping that it sounds like they're all healthy, you know, as of right now. That's the big thing. I mean, Terry obviously not being there and everything going on with his contract isn't ideal, but kind of expected. And we kind of saw this movie before a couple of years ago, and it worked itself out. I have no doubt it'll work itself out again right now. Terry McLaurin has shown himself to be quarterback proof. He finally gets a good quarterback, and we see what happens with that. And what I loved about him is the plays didn't, he didn't stop making plays, you know, once the playoffs started. He turned it up even another notch to help them go all the way to the NFC Championship game. So I think that'll get done. They added Debo, who has a lot to play for, and is trying to put good film out there for wherever maybe his next stop is. So on paper, they have a solid team. They still have some holes, too. I don't know what my expectations for them are this year. I mean, look, they went from being one of the laughing stocks of the league to jumping and going to the NFC Championship game out of nowhere. So I the spectrum is so wide for them. I really don't know what to expect. I'm just hoping Jaden doesn't have kind of that sophomore slump. And he's so good, I don't think it'll happen.
All right, when we're at camp on the 23rd of July, will Hamilton, Travis Jones, Lindebaum, or Lamar have a new contract?
You said Hamilton, Jones,
Travis Jones, Lindebaum, and or Lamar.
I doubt Lamar. Maybe Lindebaum. Maybe Lindebaum. Him and Travis Jones seems like maybe two of the more easier ones to get done.
I think Hamilton would be easy, just top paid.
Yeah, but Hamilton is a weird case because he could be, you know, his potential is through the roof. And so he could be anywhere. And then he plays all over the field. I just wonder, you know, I don't think it'll be a Michael Parsons situation where it's like, I don't know where to slot him. Hamilton is a sure bona fide safety. But it's everything that he does and, again, the potential that he has to be the best defensive player in football. So I don't know. I just wonder if we talk about likely maybe wanting to go through a year and see, you know, what he can do this year. Maybe that'll boost the asking price for him. I don't know how much more Hamilton can boost, but I just wonder if that'll be one of those ones that maybe is a little more difficult to get done than we thought.
Cordell Woodland, Shaking Up Sports, when we are Shaking Up Sports. Well, that was a great show. I think it's on ESPN Classic, if I'm not mistaken. But a fresh take.
There.
Yeah, well, yeah, no doubt. When's a fresh take coming back?
We'll be back Thursday night. So, you know, the old series will be wrapped up by then. We'll be moving on to a new on Friday, and we'll have the draft to talk about tonight. It'll be two. I don't understand the whole two nights for the NBA draft. I think that'll be gone away with pretty soon, but we'll recap the draft and this whole, you know, big story that came out yesterday about the collusion case and everything. We'll definitely have some talks about that. And hey, Deontay Johnson's talking, so maybe we'll revisit what he has to say.
Too cold.
Yeah, maybe his legs aren't frozen anymore. Cordell, appreciate it as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday.
Thanks, guys.
There's Cordell Woodland. We'll come back. We got the whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. Well, not really a lot because outside of baseball and the WNBA, the games are not real plentiful, but we still got some stuff for you. Certainly some good things happened on this day in Orioles history, June 25th. Talk to baseball Mike Axisa, CBSSports.com. Orioles, Braves. Braves, see, the Braves are getting hot all of a sudden. So they're trying to get it together, even though they dug themselves a hole. Injuries and all sorts of scenarios affected them. Possible trade candidates coming up here in a little more than a month at the day.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport. Every game.
Everything. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We hear Cordell reference this where we finished our segment with him. Deontay Johnson, now in Cleveland, explained the reason why he didn't get into the Ravens-Eagles game. They wanted him in. So I'm paraphrasing. Well, I didn't run any routes, wanted in any run plays. It's 40 degrees that day. M&T Bank Stadium, last game before the bye. Matter of fact, Justin Tucker had an off night. And he said his legs were frozen. I can't think for him. I don't know what his bodily situation was. But he refused to go into the game. Ravens released him not too long after that. Then he went to Houston. What was his excuse for refusing to go into games for them? I mean, maybe he was too hot in a controlled environment. But are you buying what Deontay Johnson is selling here with his cold legs and all?
Oh, I'd definitely buy that, Bob. I think he did that. I think he said that. You know, I think because he definitely, you know, didn't go back. And he's got no reason to lie. You know, they cut him right after. I'm not going in. I mean,
The excuse, he made it sound like it was a valid excuse for not getting in, that I hadn't played, so my legs are kind of cold, almost like I wouldn't really be an asset to the team because I can't help you, not at, you know, 100%, like you, Jerry Rice or something.
Right, but you know what? Your job, especially like if you're up, you know, and your job, not just sit there in your park and be shivering cold. You know, you got to be moving around, staying loose, you know, doing all. You got to prepare to go into the game. And it's not like, I'm cold. It's like Anthony Richardson. Tap me out.
Yeah,
I'm tired.
Yeah. fourth and one, it was. So Deontay Johnson, Ravens will see him maybe twice now with the Cleveland Browns and him and Joe Flacco.
How long does he last, Bob?
I guess he's on a short.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, you're on a zero tolerance policy. If you start popping off or complaining, that, you know, it's not like you're an all-pro. He talks about his great years, air quotes, in Pittsburgh. Yeah, good years with the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Not great. Great years are put you in the Hall of Fame or get you in the Pro Bowl. Good. Like Rashad Bateman, what he did last year is better than anything Deontay Johnson ever did.
Right. And Bob, my question would be, all right, if you had all these great years in Pittsburgh, why'd they cut you?
Because it became a pain in the ass.
No doubt.
I mean, he thought his production was bigger than the stats said it was, for sure. NBA draft is tonight. Talking about that with Cordell. Don't forget, tomorrow we got you covered big time with the draft first round, preview the second round with Coach Jimmy Patsos, national champion. He'll be in tomorrow for the entirety of Total Request Thursday, so you don't want to miss any of that. We know Derek Queen's going to go in the first round. Where he winds up remains to be seen, but it appears obvious to anyone that follows on just a casual level. The first pick in the draft is going to be this guy.
Hill looking for a triple. The same goes back to Flagg. Flagg on the attack. Flagg's a bomb! A two-hand stop.
ESPN on the call. That was Cooper Flagg throwing it down. Two-hand flush against NC State. By the way, Cooper Flagg and Derek Queen were teammates in high school. Of course, Derek started at St. Francis, went to Mount Verde, where they became one of the great teams we've seen at that level in many, many years. He'll go to the Dallas Mavericks. You would talk about collusion and all of this. I mean, ping pong balls bouncing all over the place, a lot of internet innuendo, and keep in mind it's just social media and the interweb that Silver, well, you trade Luka to Lakers, we got to keep them viable. All of a sudden, they just sell for $10 billion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, you take your gaffe because you're banged up anyway. You're going to be, and then Kyrie gets hurt. They trade for Davis. But we'll hook you up with a little number one draft pick with a guy who is the unquestioned number one pick in the draft.
Well, that's why, Bob, the NHL draft, they had with their ping pong ball thing. It was not behind. It was right out in public on national TV. So they're, you know, because they were worried about the thing that's going on with basketball, because basketball did the ping pong thing, you know, back behind the screens.
Yeah, and they've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
But I'm against the ping pong lottery, personally. That's why the NFL draft gets the most viewers. That's why there's more intrigue, because, you know, your team sucks whether you're tanking or not. You get the number one pick. Bad franchises find ways to screw that up. Look at the bottom feeders in every sport. There's a reason they're bottom feeders, because they're poorly run or they have bad ownership, whatever it is.
Who should have been the number one pick, Bob?
It was either Utah or the Wizards.
Yeah, and both those teams would have. Who had the worst record?
They were tied.
Okay. Can you imagine? Yeah, one of those two teams that, you know.
Burying him in Utah. NBA didn't want that.
Nope. Washington would have been fine.
Wiz have had the number one pick.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael Jordan took Kwame Brown.
Oh, boy.
That was bad. Then they got John Wall, who was a good player.
Be honest, right now, Utah is probably a better place to go than Washington.
Oh, you mean from a basketball perspective? I thought you were talking about the Tabernacle Choir or something.
Personal life aside.
But I'm just saying. I mean, how many national games are the Jazz going to get? I mean, it's all about how many faces are tuning into the games on now NBC, ESPN, ABC, and whatever streaming service that I can't remember who it was. But anyway, Cooper Flagg's going to be the number one pick. Derek Queen will get selected. Where he goes, we'll be talking about it tomorrow for sure. Certainly be watching tonight. It's the Whip Around here on this lovely Woman Crush Wednesday. Real quick, let's see. This day in Orioles history. Today's June 25th. 1983, the eventual world champs, 1997, sorry, eventual American League East champs, wire to wire, in Milwaukee, beat the Brewers 9-1. Jeffrey Hammonds went deep twice, drove in four. David DeLucci, he had a home run. So did B.J. Surhoff. Mike Mussina, complete game three-hitter, 12 Ks, improved to 9-2. As the Orioles hammer the Brujas that day. 2014, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. In 12 innings, Orioles beat the White Sox. David Lau. Or was it Lowe? It was Lowe. David Lowe. Spelled Lau. He scored on a wild pitch. Nelson Cruz hit a grand slam earlier in the game as the Orioles edged the Pale Host 5-4. And then 2 years ago, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Orioles beat the Mariners 3-2. Tony Taters hit a two-run homer. Kyle Bradish goes seven strong. With 7 Ks for the win, Felix Bautista picked up his 21st save as the eventual American League East champ Orioles beat the Mariners on that day. Hard to believe, 2 years ago today. Current day Orioles, they're taking on the Rangers tonight. We'll talk baseball. Mike Axisa from CBSSports.com. What big names could be available during the trade deadline? Every team needs pitching. Are the Orioles even a position where they got to try to acquire one, or are they going to be trading someone?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Way. Jacob DeGrom tonight. It's going to be a tall order, but that's why they play the games. BBT, Baltimore Baseball. Tonight, me, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, and Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles, starting at 5:30. Come on down and say hello. But let's talk some baseball here on this hot day in Baltimore. CBSSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Mike Axisa. Mike, what's happening?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Good. Doing all right. And let's talk about Matt. Speaking of hot, manager hot seats. Already saw a change in Pittsburgh. Saw one in Colorado. Saw one, obviously, here with the Orioles in Baltimore. And, you know, the Twins had a 13-game winning streak. Since then, they've had the worst record in baseball. They've lost five in a row. They've fallen five games below 500, 12.5 out of the lead there in the Central, and like everyone else, I guess still clanking around some wild card hopes, but they faded last year, Mike, as you know. Is Rocco Baldelli a guy that maybe we need to keep an eye on for someone that could be looking for employment elsewhere here soon?
No, I don't think so at all. You know, it was just reported, I think The Athletic had it, that Baldelli's his club option for 2026 was picked up, and I don't know if, we don't know when that happened exactly. Did it happen last week? Did it happen before? See, I don't know, but I mean, he's under contract through next year, and they obviously like him enough to do that. So he's pretty much locked in. I don't think this is on Baldelli. I mean, you watch the Twins, and they just, like, they don't pass the eye test at all. Like, there's just something off about that team. And other than that 13-game winning streak, I mean, they've been pretty bad. Like, the pitching hasn't been good. The defense hasn't been good. Offense has been just, like, so wildly inconsistent. And they pitched so poorly this month. I just read this morning that this might end up being the worst month in Twins history by ERA. It's been that bad. And I don't think that's on Baldelli. You look at the payroll, it's come down because of the ownership, and they've had some misses with player development and just pitching acquisitions. And I don't think he's to blame here. I can't say for certain that he's safe. I mean, you know, so if somebody gets scapegoated, it usually starts with the manager there before they get to the GM. So maybe, but I think he's pretty safe.
Now, in the National League, the Mets got off to this great start, and they're still very much considered to be, and rightfully so, one of the best teams in the National League, but they can't score, and the offense is kind of going kaput for them. So what is New York, aside from hitting better, stating the obvious, but why the melees for them almost team-wide here as the dog days of summer are certainly upon us?
Yeah, it's funny because Juan Soto, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't Juan Soto early in the season. But the Mets were winning anyway, and, you know, it was all right. And now he's hitting like Juan Soto, and the Mets are losing. So it's kind of been this, like, weird trajectory there. But you look at the lineup they have on, like, any given day, the top four is great, and the bottom five is not good. There's just, like, a huge discrepancy between their best hitters and their worst hitters. And, I mean, these were their guys coming into the season. Mark Vientos is hurt, but he wasn't really that good before he got hurt. You know, it's not like they're missing a whole bunch of guys to injury. You know, it's just, it's a very top-heavy lineup. They projected to be coming into the season, and they made it work earlier in the season because their pitching was so good, and it was good in a way that just wasn't going to last all season. I think their starting pitchers allowed something like 6 home runs in their first 37 games or something. And that's just not something you could expect to continue. And the pitching has come back to earth, and I see the lineup is just so imbalanced. There's a lot of guys in there who are just, I don't want to call them easy outs, but like, if you're an opposing pitcher, you're like, okay, this is where I could get my outs. If I'm in a jam, I know there's this below average hitter a few batters away to get me out of it. And they really need to address their lineup depth. I don't know how they're going to do that at the trade deadline. They could really use a third baseman. That was true before this season, and they didn't do anything there. They need a center fielder. They didn't really do anything there either. And so they got to figure this stuff out and just add more length to the lineup. You know, I think they're 1-10 in their last 11 games, or 1-9 out of 10, something like that. It's really bad, but they're not this bad. They'll figure it out eventually.
Now, staying in that division, Mike, with the Braves, just when I'm ready to stick a fork in them, they get hot again. I mean, they dug a hole just like the Orioles have here in Baltimore. But will the real Atlanta Braves please stand up? And right now, Mike, what are the real Atlanta Braves in 2025?
Yeah, I really don't know, because you look, last week they swept the Mets, and the weekend they lost a series to the Marlins, and now they won 2 straight against the Mets again. You know, I don't know what team this is, and losing Chris Sale was like a major blow there. I don't know how long he's going to be sidelined, but any time he misses is really bad, because their rotation on paper coming into the season was a little bit short on quality. Obviously, Sale's great. He's the ace, the Cy Young winner. After that, it was a little bit questionable. They didn't replace Max Fried. It's kind of questionable what they were going to get from Ronaldo Lopez, because he was good in a way last year that they weren't really sure he was going to do that again. And then he got hurt. He hurt his shoulder. He's going to miss the rest of the season. And so they're running really short on pitching. The offense, Ronald Acuna has been so good since he came back. He's basically been like best player in baseball since he came back. But everybody else is kind of below expectations. And similar to the Mets, there's some spots in that lineup, like shortstop's a black hole. They haven't really gotten anything from Michael Harris. And there's just some spots in the lineup that they're just underperforming so much. You throw that in with a short rotation and a bullpen that's a little bit leaky. And every time they get on a run and I think, okay, this is it, the Braves are here, they like lose a series to the Marlins. And it's, I don't know, I really don't know what team to expect going forward. If they were the best team in baseball from today moving forward, it wouldn't surprise me. If they played 500 ball the rest of the way and kind of hung around the wild cards race, and like that was the best they could do, that wouldn't surprise me either. They're a really tough team to figure out right now.
Mike Exesa, CBSSports.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Sandy Alcantara, or Alcantara, if you will, in Miami. What's his trade value right now, Mike?
I think it's down a little bit from earlier in the season, because he has been pretty bad overall. He's been much better the last three or four times out. He's looking more like the pitcher he was before Tommy John surgery. He's not exactly all the way back there yet, but he's getting closer. And I mean, the contract is so cheap. He's making money that's like fourth starter money, and it's another 2 years with an option. It's, you know, teams, that's kind of like the kind of player with team friendly contract that everybody wants. And I think it's still pretty high. Ultimately, it's going to come, you're going to have, you know, three or four contenders bidding for him, and one team is just going to kind of step out and say, fine, we'll give you another top prospect on one order, and we're already offering, and that'll win the bidding. And so I think it's still pretty high. Maybe they're not going to get as much as they would have kind of like sight unseen following the Tommy John surgery, and everybody just kind of assumed he would hit the ground running and be himself. So I still think it's pretty high. I think he'll get traded at the deadline, and he'll probably be the best pitcher traded at the deadline again.
And Mike, are the Orioles capable of going on like a Twins type streak? Because that's the only thing that they need. That's what they got to be able to do to get back in it. Are they capable of going 9-1? You know, that type of stretch.
Yeah, of course they're capable of it. There's still plenty of talent there. Really, kind of haven't seen it yet this season. It hasn't played up to its potential, and I know they've been better since they replaced Brandon Hyde. But we're still talking about like 500-ish baseball. Not really, you know. They haven't had like a 20-12 stretch or something like that. But there's certainly plenty of talent there to do that. The pitching is, it's been better, but it's still pretty dicey there. You know, every other day with the rotation, and you can't really count on to get even five quality innings every day. It's tough to win like that. The offense has been much better. You know, Gunnar Henderson's starting to look like Gunnar Henderson, and it's just kind of finally being the offense that it was supposed to be. And so, sure, they definitely could put together a run, but we are almost in July, and it hasn't happened yet, and they're kind of running out of time, and they've put themselves in a pretty big hole here. They got to jump some teams to get back in the wild card mix, and it's just hard to do. It has to happen really soon.
Mike Exesa, CBSSports.com. Mike, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday, and we'll talk to you hopefully before the All-Star break and definitely by the trade deadline.
Yep, sure thing.
Thanks, got Mike. Mike Exesa will come back, reset for you, take a phone call, get to the fun house, or at least hear from Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Get more to this collusion thing. Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray. Murray got paid. Lamar got paid. Lamar's about to get paid again. And also talk about how loaded that AFC is. And the Ravens might be the most talented team. It's to the point where I'm beating the drum. Now I'm starting to question myself all of a sudden. Another one coming up tonight, but Jim Hunter get his thoughts on the Birds of Baltimore creeping closer and closer. Two games away from the midway point of the season. That's right, 162. My math says they played 79 games. So we're getting there. Is there hope for a postseason run? We keep going, oh, yeah, it's cool. We're good. And then with each passing devastating loss, series loss, they've lost a game. They were 8.5 out of the wild card two Fridays ago, cut it to 6 this past Friday. Here we are 5 days later. They've lost a game and a half. So let's keep it real. And Jim Hunter keeps it real. Stick around for that. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, thanks for holding. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty cool. I'm in the basement, you know, just chilling out. But damn right they collude. All people collude, especially those with that FU money. They all collude, you know. I'll bring an instance up when I think somebody got colluded against for what he tried to stand for, but it got taken out of context, and the whole NFL blackballed him. You already know where I'm going with that one. But anyway, I want to talk about contracts. Hey, Bob, you remember the first guy who signed the contract for $1 million in the NFL?
First NFL $1 million contract? NFL per season?
Yes.
Well, if you can't, Walter Payton.
No, it wasn't him. I don't remember. I don't give. Chuck won't pay me to give you the
right. No, I thought I was going to win a prize for answering that question.
No. But anyway, what I'm saying is, when they finally got that shared revenue for all the teams, and the money started raking in from the contracts of the television stations, here's what happened. When there was no cap, there was manipulation. I can't even get the word out. But then they put in a salary cap. But Bob, this is me. I think also when they came up with that, They should have came up with a position cap. I'm saying that every position has a minimum and maximum of what you should get paid, just like regular jobs. And then, you know, if you're making a certain amount of your, like the NBA, got Supermax. It stops there. Don't keep climbing. Because, hey, man, 70-something thousand now for a quarterback to me is ridiculous. And it shouldn't even be talking like that. So I figured they should have had a position cap for every position on the football team. And then, of course, you got the cost of living increase. But here's the thing. We don't know, you and I and Vinny, we don't know what the owners are taking in every year. You know, the NFL, I think somebody said each owner at the beginning of the season gets $500 million to put in their back pocket. So I don't know what else money they get. Now, does the PA or does the union know exactly what each team makes? And that's why they have, in other words, we're going to make a salary cap, and then you owners, I mean, you general managers, you work with this. But who's to say how much money the owners are really making? Evidently, they're making a lot to give these players this crazy FU money. You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying, Joe, and that the owners have had FU money before they even bought the franchises.
Yes.
So they got that. And I'm looking it up, trying to. The first player in any sport to make $1 million a year was Nolan Ryan. With the we left California Angels at the time, signed with the Houston Astros. But football's a lot tougher. Like, Joe Namath signed the first $1 million contract over extended years. Lamb Jones, including signing bonus, former Texas Longhorn,
yeah, signed with Johnny Lamb Jones.
Yeah, with the Jets, but that's kind of mind-boggling. But anyway, $1 million. I think the cheerleaders make $1 million a year nowadays. Anyway,
$1 million, like the minimum salary is over that now. So yeah, most. I don't know if there's any, Bob, I don't know if there's many not making at least $1 million.
So there you have it. I remember Kirby Puckett signed for $3 million a year back in 1990, and people were losing their minds. If Howard Cosell was alive today, he would be going bananas talking about this sort of compensation. Then again, he'd probably be making a ton of dough running his yapper, doing what he did. Nolan, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good, but you know, that's one of those timeless things that you can always, you can count on in sports. There's certain talking points in sports that'll never go away. They'll always be there, and inflation of contracts is one of them. I mean, because you said it back then, $1 million for a player? I mean, right. My God, who justifies this? And now it's the same thing. I mean, these guys, they spend too much money on them. It's the same takes. 50 years from now, it'll be the same thing. But look, as frustrating as it is, especially when some of these guys sign deals and then a couple of years later, they're like, hey, I want to get traded. I'm out of here. You know, I don't like it anymore, blah, blah, blah. I understand the frustration, but it's kind of a lose-lose, right? If you're not siding with the players here, right, you're siding with the owners. And who wants to do that? I mean, the money has to go somewhere. The money's coming in. The revenue's being generated. The sport is immensely popular. So shouldn't it be going to the guys who actually go out there and play the game? I mean, it has to go somewhere. If it's not going to the players, it's just lining the pockets of the owners.
Right, and you're spending your money to watch the product on the field. Mm-hmm. And if it's a crap product, you stop showing up. You stop spending your money. But to your point, yeah, the players are the ones you watch. I mean, look at college athletics now. I mean, it's like they've been selling jerseys and likenesses for years and years and years, and the mm-hmm. athletes legally didn't get crap. Now, there's always been cheating in college sports. It is what it is. There's always the teams that had the money, the boosters, the no-show jobs, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, do you want to watch a Deontay Johnson spend $150 on a ticket to say he's too cold to play?
Well, nobody was in the stadium that night to see Deontay Johnson. I mean, that's the point.
But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
you're there to see Lamar. You're there to see the Ravens.
I'm there to see about 52 other guys.
Ravens do what they have to do. But collusion, it's always been kind of a thing. I mean,
no
baseball
doubt.
Fought free agency for years because they wanted to be in control, treated them as commodities. And now they're highly paid. Middle relievers make $10 million a year. It's insanity. Willie Mays, Jim Palmer, Brooks Robinson, Frank, they never sniffed that kind of dough. per season. And could you imagine what they would be making if they played in these days? But when they played, box seat ticket was like $3. Beer was a nickel.
Long story short, I'm just looking forward to being...
There was helmet day.
Your age or a little bit older and being able to kick back there. and getting there. I got a long way to go, I hope.
Yeah.
And, you know, be able to say to the grandkids, these guys make too much money. Yeah. I want to fulfill... It's the circle. The circle of sports life fandom.
Well, because they make so much money, we pay $380 for cable bills. You have to get streaming that you have to pay for. There's no free TV for these games either.
Well, by that point, the first half will be on ESPN. The second half will be on Amazon Prime. Each quarter will be a different streaming.
That's right. Yeah. Brought to you by, when we come back, it's news from the desk. Then we got, speaking of money, buy or sell, 12:15, talk about sports subjects of this day. And we'll talk about the Orioles loss last night. Could still win a series. Boy, how many times have we said that? Well, the Orioles lost last night. They could still win the series. And then they wound up losing the series. Jim Hunter, 12.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.